About 5 or 6 years ago, my son asked me to come to Lumberton, North Carolina to help him paint a trailer. I spent about 2 or 3 days preparing and painting that trailer. And then the night before I was to leave, I told him I was going to retire and rest. And I had taken some Sunday school materials with me to prepare to teach. Well, when I got to bed that night, something unusual began to occur. My vision did things it had never done before. I started getting flashes of light out of the corner of my eyes, and a floater or floaters began to appear. So I got up the next morning and I said, my son is an ophthalmologist. I said, can you tell me what's going on? He said, you probably just got something unusual. If you were going to stay here today, I would take you in, would dilate your eyes. But since you're driving back to Tennessee, I can't do that. So I said, okay. So I drove back with that condition. And when I got back, I decided to go by the King's Academy where my daughter teaches and say hello to them. So I called my son and I said, Scott, I'm here. I just wanted to let you know I'm home safely. To which he said, you need to see a doctor as soon as you can. Okay. So I called a practice here in the immediate area. And luckily, the doctor was able to work me in that night. What he found was I was having some tears in the retina of my right eye. You can imagine the anxiety I experienced over the next few days when it was determined by the retina specialist that I need to have laser treatment. I had that, and it was very successful. I realize now, as I'm aging, that there's a thing called cataracts that begins to develop. And I'm having those to develop. They're not advanced enough yet to do anything about. Vision is an important thing to all of us. But the passage of Scripture that is under discussion today has nothing to do with visual acuity. It has to do with perception. It has to do with how people see things. There's a woman that goes to the synagogue. Jesus is teaching at the synagogue, and this is the last time in the Gospel of Luke that there will be a reference to Jesus teaching in a synagogue. The woman blends into the background. As was read in Scripture this morning, she has had a condition that has been with her for 18 years, almost 2 decades. And the picture that Scripture gives us is that she is bent double. We don't know why that occurred, except Scripture says that it is under the influence of a spirit, maybe a demonic spirit. Maybe it's a way of explaining what was going on in her life. The culture said that if one had sinned, then health would deteriorate, quite possibly in the eyes of people, because she had this physical condition. Satan was in control of her life. It didn't seem to matter. What caused it? Diseases we know as scoliosis, osteoporosis, maybe an accident, maybe lifting a child and herniated some disc. We don't know what happened, but the picture is of a woman who has had a condition for 18 years that is very debilitating. I encourage you to read Dr. Smith's book on Luke. This particular episode he paints quite beautifully. And he talks about the woman, and his description is that she is invisible in the synagogue, that the leaders probably have not even known if she's demon-possessed. They have no idea and could care less. She's become accustomed to her situation, probably thinking it's not going to get any better than this. His word is she's boxed in. She's living in a box. Virtually unnoticed. Just blending in. Accepting her difficulty. Her perception of herself is one that says, here I am, this is what I have to deal with, I'm here for life. Boxed in. Jesus sees her. And I love what Dr. Smith says in his book. It's like she just pops up on the scene. But Jesus sees her. Now, in the religious circumstances of that day, men and women were separated. Men were where religious traditions, where the law, where teachings were discussed, and women were in another location, unseen and unheard. But Jesus sees her, and he says, come over, woman. And she does. I can only imagine what she might have perceived. It was out of character. It was out of religious practice. Women were not supposed to do that, but at the beckon of Jesus, who saw her, she came to him. He says very simply to her, woman, straighten up, you're healed. As one writer says, it's kind of interesting. Can you imagine what might have gone through her mind? One who has been bent double for 18 years, and Jesus touches her and says, straighten up. You're made well. You've been loosed of this condition. She straightens up. One writer says she might have done it very slowly. Not sure those back muscles were going to do what they should do. But then, interestingly enough, the scripture says she is made whole and she praises God. You would have thought that would have made the synagogue happy. A person who has been incapacitated for 18 years, has been made whole, can stand up, can look you face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and be considered not a second-class citizen, but an accepted, loved, and cared for individual. It's not what happened. Also in the book, the descriptive word Dr. Smith uses, the leaders went ballistic. Why are you doing this, Jesus? What right do you have to heal this lady on the Sabbath day? You see, the lady had come. Jesus had seen her, and all of a sudden she sees Jesus. Grace, redemption, restoration, life is different, but those blinded by religious tradition can't see anything. After all, she's been here. I don't think the leader even knew she had been there. But she had 6 other days to get healed on. Why did she wait till today? Come on, Jesus. That woman could have been healed any other day but the Sabbath. There's an interesting story about an African-American lady who goes to church. At an all-white church in the South. It's written by Alice Walker, entitled The Welcome Table. The lady appears in church, cold, disheveled, weak, barely coherent. And she comes into church. The church doesn't know what to do with her. Some of them looked at her and thought, she looks like our servants. Others thought, she's here to raise a riot. As a writer says, nobody looked at her as a child of Abraham. You see, the religious leaders would untie their oxen, as was read. They would bring them to water and not consider that to be working on the Sabbath. But Jesus looked at a human being. He brought healing to her life. And they're angry. They're mad. in Alice Walker's story, he goes something like this. It was the ladies who finally did to them what had to be done. Daring their burly husbands to throw the old colored woman out, they made their point. God, mother, country, earth, church. It involved all that, and they well knew it. Leather bagged and shoed, with good calfskin gloves to keep out the cold, they looked with contempt at the bloodless, gray, arthritic hands of the old woman, clenched relentlessly in her lap. Could their husbands expect them to set up in church with that? No, no. The husbands were quick to answer and even quicker to perform their duty. Under the old woman's arms, they placed their clenched fist, which afterwards smelled like the decay and musk of old onion skins and rotting greens. Under the old woman's arms, they raised their fists, flexed their muscular shoulders, and out she flew through the door. Back under the cold blue sky. This done, the wise folded their healthy arms across their trim middles and felt at once justified and even scornful. None of them said so, for none of them spoke of the incident again. Inside the church, it was warmer. They sang. They prayed. The protection and promise of God's impartial love grew more, not less desirable, as a sermon gathered fury and lashed itself out above their penitent heads. The writer goes on to say that when the woman is thrown out of church, she finds a man walking on the highway, and that man is Jesus. A woman goes to the synagogue, bent double. She's allowed to be healed by the grace of God and the power of the Holy One and restored. And church leaders are not happy. Why didn't she come on six other days? An old black African American who needs help, goes to church. And what does she find? Religious tradition, prejudice, discontent, people who do not want anyone but those like themselves in the gathering. So what does that say? What does that say to you and to me? I think that we look at the Bible and the stories as past events. We look at them as something that has occurred, and they're beautiful. They're even colorful. They're intriguing. But in one sense of the word, they're not real to us. Oh, we love what Jesus did. We love the power that he used to heal someone. And it's a beautiful story. And we like to leave that encounter 2,000 years ago. If I understand the Spirit of God, he is here. He is alive, and he is well. And the same God that spoke and healed an individual is here to speak and heal the needs of his people. Augustine says that the woman in this account is a metaphor for humanity. That we find ourselves bent double from sin and guilt and the influence of evil. And it is only through the power of the living Christ that things can change. We're not in the synagogue. We're in the church. And God is here. Holy Spirit is here. In this group, many have come who are hurting. Many have come with guilt that is almost unbearable. Many need the touch of Jesus and the healing power of God. It's not a story in the past. It is a reality in the present. So how do you see Jesus? As someone we gather each Sunday to celebrate and to tell the stories about? Or someone who is here, who is speaking? I have three friends that are all struggling with cancer and what it is doing to their bodies and their minds and their spirits. I wish that I could speak and God could heal them immediately. And I think God has the power to do whatever God chooses to do. And I don't mean that in any negative sense. I'm not limiting the power of God. I'm not saying He chooses to heal some and not others. I know He uses medical science. But I know that all of them need one thing. They need to feel the touch of Christ. You see, all healing is not physical. Some of it is emotional. Some of it is spiritual. And I loved to paraphrase what Dr. Metcalf used to say when he was doing a memorial service. That healing as we know it has not occurred, but total restoration has in the presence of God. I say simply, Jesus is here. He wants to address the needs of people. Don't limit His power. He sees you. He knows you. He cares for you. And it's not just a story. A woman came to church over 2,000 years ago. Her bent body was made straight. She praised God. She was ridiculed, but the people saw what was happening, and they were pleased. And the reason they were pleased is they knew that the presence of God was with them. I don't know your circumstance. All I can pray for is the healing grace of God to enter that, and that you experience His presence, His forgiveness, His grace, His healing, and His restoration. Simply, God sees your need and is here to address that need through His church, through His people, and through His power. May God bless you in your situation as He sees it and as He brings His presence to it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we don't always understand the healing process of God, but we know You're God. We know You have the power to address us wherever we find ourselves and to bring us restoration as we need, maybe not as we want. So, Father, for all of this church that has a physical need, an emotional need, a spiritual need. We ask that they would see you and know that you have already seen them. The woman saw you and was restored. We ask for that restoration. In the power of Christ we pray. Amen. Bob will come and lead us in an appropriately selected hymn, The Great Physician. The Great Physician is here. He knows your needs. He wants to address those needs. We are here to help you any way we can. Any minister, any church member, we want to be the eyes of God and the hands of God for you. Would you respond as God so leads you?